Revelation chapter 20. And when you find that, hold that and turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 11 through 15 there. And in Hebrews chapter 9, I'm going to read verse 27. So I have a burden for the lost, and I've only been here for a few weeks, and I've talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people have the wrong way to heaven. They have the wrong belief. It's contrary to the Bible. And when we talk to these people, a lot of times they give a lot of answers, everything but the right answer, everything but Jesus Christ. So there's a burden there because a lot of churches do not teach or preach on hell or eternal judgment or anything like that. And so today, it's a burden message. I'm burdened. But it's in the Bible. We got to preach on it. We need to be reminded. So if you're here today and you're saved, this is a reminder of not only what God saved us out of our past, but what God saved us from, eternal judgment in the lake of fire. But I'm going to read here in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." We all die. Everybody is going to die, and there's going to be a judgment. Every man will face judgment. Every person will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a judgment of the saved, and there will be a judgment of the lost. Over here in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I'm going to preach a message on no escape. No escape. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I beg you for your Spirit. I need you, Lord. I need your words. I need your guidance, your direction here. Your truths are here in your Bible and your Word. But Lord, I need you to speak clearly, to clear my thoughts, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought. I pray, Lord, that those who are here will listen, that you'll prepare their hearts. And Lord, somewhere here or over the internet, somebody might be listening that has never been born again. They've never received you as their Savior. Lord, the end is coming. The day of judgment is coming, Lord. And I pray that today they will turn to you for salvation and be saved. And Lord, everything that's done here today, I pray, Lord, is for your glory and your honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The great white throne judgment is the judgment that will send and cast every unbeliever, every unsaved person, whether it's a man, woman, boy, or girl, into the lake of fire for all of eternity. There will be nothing more horrible than to stand at the great white throne judgment and find that your name is not written in the book of life. And then realize that you will spend eternity in the lake of fire as the Bible teaches. The horrors of hearing Jesus say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25:41. You see, this is the judgment of all the lost people. All those that have never been born again. All those that has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Before I get into this, let me give you a few characteristics of a lost person. Number one, a lost person is that blatant sinner. These are those people that hate God. And they're blatant about it. They're vocal about it. They hate God. They hate the Bible. They shake their fists at God. And they say, "I will not bow to you." They do what they want, when they want, how they want it, and no God in heaven is going to tell them what to do. But then there is the self-righteous sinner. The self-righteous sinner, these are good people. These are good people. They probably go to church occasionally. They've probably been baptized. They may even give tithes to the church. But here's the thing. They think they are good. That was me for 38 years. I thought I was good enough to get to heaven. They think they're good. They do not think they need to be saved. They do not think that the gospel is for them. They think that the gospel is for that murderer, that rapist, that thief. But the gospel is not for them. Self-righteousness, that pride, will keep a person lost and on their way to hell. But then there's the procrastinating sinner. These are the people that know they need to be saved. They know it. You ask them, yes, I need to be saved, but they put it off. Every time they hear the gospel preached, they put it off. The devil whispers in their ear, not today. Do it tomorrow. You don't have to make a decision today. Do it later. Put it off. He that's often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. But then you have the church member. The church member, these are the people that joined the church. They got their names written in the church directory, but they never got their names written in the book of life that we read about. You know the people, when you ask them, do they know for sure they're going to heaven? They say, well, yeah, I've been a member of such and such church for X amount of years. Well, yeah, I've been going over there to such and such church. Right? Jesus loves the church. It's His church. He shed His blood for His church. It's His church. But He never says, believe on the church and thou shalt be saved. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These are just some characteristics of a lost person, not all inclusive, but just to give you some ideas of what we're talking about here of a lost person. And so today I'm just going to give you four truths concerning this judgment of the lost here. Four truths. Number one, no escape. There will be no escape. Look at verse 11 there in Revelation chapter 20. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This here is the throne of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This is God's throne of judgment, His throne against all sin. No lost person will be able to stand and escape the judgment here. All will face the judge. There will be no escape. And the judge here is Jesus Christ. God the Father committed all judgment to Him. In John 5:22 it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Every unsaved person will stand face to face with Jesus Christ. They will confess that He is Lord. They will bow before Him. They will realize they never should have rejected Him. They will realize they never should have lived for the pleasures of self and of this world. They will realize that they should have been saved, but it will be too late. It will be too late. There will be no escape. Now I know you're like me. You say, justice in this world is kind of a joke. People commit a crime and they get put free. They get let free. They commit something. They do something wrong. It's against the law. You know, and then they get set free. So people feel free to sin. People feel free to commit and break laws because it seems like there's no punishment here. Now you may escape human punishment, but no guilty person will be able to escape the judgment of a holy, righteous God. Paul asked in Hebrews 2:3, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape? The answer is, there is no escape. There is no escape. Many of you may have heard of the escape room. I've never done it, but I've heard about it. It's an exercise, basically, like a team-building exercise. I'm sure they have some in Atlanta. I'm not sure if they have any around here, but a group of people will go together, and you'll have different themes you can choose from in order to kind of solve riddles, work together as a team to escape, maybe to escape a room. But let me tell you something. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, there will be no escape from His judgment. The escape room has a timer. It's a 60-minute timer. At the end of that timer, you're free to go. But here there is no escape. There will be no tears of mercy at this judgment. There will be no tears of grace. Today is the day of mercy. Today is the day of grace. You will stand before Jesus alone, with nowhere to hide and nowhere to go. The Bible says heaven and earth will flee away, and there will be no place left for the sinner to hide. It kind of reminds me of in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. You know, they sinned, and what did they do? They hid from God. And man has been thinking they could hide from God all these years, and we sin, and we can think we can hide, but we can't. On this day, heaven and earth will flee away. All that they lived for will be gone. All the money, all the houses, the prestige, the power, the fame, the drugs, the alcohol, everything that it is that you live for will be gone. The comforts of this life will be gone. And all that will be left is a life of rejecting the Lord will come down to you before the Lord. In Hebrews 10:31, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. In Deuteronomy 4:24, it says, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Listen, all I'm simply saying is I'm giving you the warning. There is no escape. Guilty is the verdict. Convicted. There is no parole. There is no plea deal. You're not getting out. There is no bribes you can make. Every person who has ever died without Jesus Christ will face Him in this judgment, and there will be no escape. There will be no escape. Number two, there will be no excuse. There will be no excuse. Look at verse 12 and 13 in Revelation 20. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Hey, listen, no matter what your social status is, no matter if you're rich, no matter if you're poor, no matter if you're famous, no matter if you're unknown, no matter how many followers you have on TikTok or any of those things, all who die without Jesus Christ will stand at this judgment, and there will be no excuses. There will be no excuse. You can make any excuse you want, and we make many of them today. Many people make many excuses for not coming to Jesus today. We have all kinds of excuses, but in that day, there will be no excuse. It won't matter who hurt you. It won't matter who offended you. It won't matter how many times you got your feelings hurt. Whatever excuse you're using today, it will not matter at this judgment. The Bible says it will come down to you and Jesus and these books. These books. The Bible speaks of two different kinds of books here. At the great white throne judgment. First, it tells us that there is the book of life. The book of life. This book here, everybody who's been born again, who's received Jesus Christ as their Savior, has their names written in the book of life. But at this judgment, this is a judgment of the lost. Everybody who stands at the great white throne judgment has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He has rejected the free salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, at this point, man has rejected that free gift. And their names are not written in the book of life. In Luke 10:20, Jesus tells His disciples to rejoice because their names are written in heaven. Their names are written in heaven. We should be rejoicing. We should be rejoicing. But then there is the books, plural. The plural form, the books. These books here, the Bible tells us, they are the records of all the works of the unbeliever. When a person's name is not found written in the book of life, then these books are opened, and he is judged out of these books. Now, don't get me wrong here. Stay with me. These books are not open to determine salvation. These books are not open to see if you're going to heaven or hell. That has already been established here on this earth. You must choose to receive Jesus as your Savior on this earth before you die. We read the verse in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, these books are open because all of that lost person's works are in there, and they are judged off of those works. That means that this judgment is based off of their works, which means that they are condemned. They are condemned. Their works condemn them. But you say, preacher, I've never murdered anybody. I've never robbed a bank. I've never done anything like that. And that might be the case, but listen to me. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is not in the book of life, and you are already condemned. And there will be no excuse. Turn over to John 3:18. John 3:18. Familiar verse, and I often quote it, but I want you to see it. John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. All right? He that believeth on Jesus is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're with Christ here today, you're already condemned. Listen to me, this is serious. You're already condemned. The only thing keeping you from this judgment is one heartbeat. One heartbeat. One breath. That's it. Today, God has brought you here to hear the gospel. You are in the right place to be saved. If you're out on the internet, you can be saved right here, right now, today. The only thing keeping you from this judgment, if you've not received Jesus Christ, is one breath. One breath, one heartbeat. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. And listen, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word that I have spoken, I'm going to tell you again, that's why it's important and it's a must that you have an every word Bible. You must have an every word Bible, King James Bible, because there's many of the Bibles out there that do not have death and hell in it. They take it out. They nullify it. They bring it down. All right, you need an every word Bible. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen, we're all going to stand in judgment one day. We need to know from the Bible what we're being judged on. How is it we're condemned? We need to know these things, and you got to have the right Bible. God knows our hearts, right? He knows everything we do. He knows everything we say. And many people think that they can get away with things in this life. But the Bible says that every thought and every idle word and every secret thing will be made manifest. It will be made known. In Matthew 12:36, he says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. In Luke 8:17, he says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Everything's going to be made known. He says, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Listen, there will be no excuse. A lot of times people say, you might have heard the phrase, an excuse is a lie wrapped up in a reason. A lie. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. A lot of people think that lying's no big deal. A little white lie. Well, it's just a little white lie. Let's read this verse here. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, those are all some pretty bad people. You agree with me? Yes. But then he goes on, he says, and all liars. He put in all liars in that group, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hey, listen, God hates liars. He hates lying. He even says that lying lips are abomination in Proverbs 12:22. But say, listen, you might make any excuse you want, but in that day, there will be no excuse. You know. You can't use the excuse, I didn't know. You know. You know. The Bible tells us. You know, there'll be those that have made the excuses, and they're trusting in their baptism to get them to heaven. They're trusting in their good works to get them to heaven. They're trusting in their church membership. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in Muhammad or Buddha or Mary or their denomination. They're trusting in something other than what the Bible says. But you can offer up any excuse on that day, and it's not going to cut it. You will not get out of it. We need to move on. Number three, there will be no easing of the pain. No easing of the pain. There will be no letting up. Look at verse 14 there in Revelation chapter 20. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, hell is the place where all unbelievers go when they die to await the final judgment. And we see that in Luke 16, in verses 19 through 31, with the rich man. He died, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and he's still there awaiting this judgment. But after the great white throne judgment, all those who are dead and in hell, the Bible says, will be cast into the lake of fire. This will be the eternal torment, the eternal place of torment where all unbelievers will be cast. And there will be no easing of the pain. There will be no relief of the pain. There will be no end of the torment. It will be an eternal state of dying without the dying. And in my opinion, I think that the lake of fire is worse than hell, because he takes death and hell and he puts it into the lake of fire. There will be no easing of the pain. Listen, there is no such thing as purgatory. You talk with people and their hope is in purgatory. Their hope is that they're going to die and go to that place, and somebody's going to give enough money and eventually say enough prayers to get them out of that place, and it's nowhere in the Bible. Some even in our area, believe in reincarnation. They think they're going to keep just reincarnating into something else, and that's not anywhere in the Bible. And others think that death is just the end. They're going to die and go into the grave, and that'll be it. They're going to cease to exist. But nowhere in the Bible does it talk about this. And as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, the judgment, we all have that appointment. That appointment is death, and after that death is the judgment. And if you die without Jesus as your personal Savior, you will stand before Him at this judgment, and there will be no easing of the pain. And verse 14 that we read says you will be cast into the lake of fire. Now here's the sad part. The sad part of all of this is that nobody has to go there. Nobody has to go there. God doesn't want you to go there. God loves you, and He loves every person who's ever been, and He does not want any to go there. And that's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Jesus left heaven, and He came here, and He took on the form of a man to go to the cross of Calvary for all mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is wrapped up in that verse. If you believe on Him, He gives you everlasting life. You see, He left heaven, He came to the earth, He went to the cross of Calvary, He shed His blood on that cross, He took the sin debt of every man, woman, boy, girl, ever. He took all of my sins, all of your sins upon Him on that cross that day. He died in my place, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. And when He arose, He conquered death, He conquered the grave, He conquered sin, He conquered it all so that I would have a way to heaven. So that you would have a way to heaven. So that every person would have to have a way to get to heaven. And nobody has to go to this awful place of torment. He does not want anybody to go there. Jesus came and He preached more on hell than anything else, because he doesn't want you to go there. In Acts 4:12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is it. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, you got to come to Jesus Christ. It's not in yourself. It's not in anything you can do. He paid it all. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Be saved. Not might be saved or hopefully be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You've got to believe on what he did. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Number four, there will be no exception. There will be no exception to the rule. Verse 15, And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now on this earth, it seems like there's always exceptions to the rules, right? There's always exceptions to the policy. And maybe if I just call somebody, maybe if I make a phone call, I'll call somebody and we can make an exception to the rule. But not here. Not at the great white throne judgment. It's not happening. There will be no exceptions to the rule. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It will not matter what church you are a member of. It will not matter how many times you were baptized. If your name is not written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. No exceptions. You see, God is not a respecter of persons. In Colossians 3:25, he says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. In 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, and he says, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear. No exceptions. Hey, listen, there's no parties in the lake of fire. I've talked with people and they say, yeah, when I die and I go to hell, I'm going to have all my family members are going to be there, all my drinking buddies. We're going to have a big party. We're all going to drink lots of beer, and the motorcycle gang's going to come in, and we're just going to have a big old family reunion. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil, my friend. And the rich man died, and in hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment, and he's still asking for one drip of water. One drip of water. You see, you will be in constant torture. And the thing of it is, you'll have all of eternity to remember. You'll have all of eternity to remember every time you went to church. You'll have all of eternity to remember every time you heard the gospel. You'll have all of eternity to remember every time the Holy Spirit convicted your heart to call on the Lord Jesus and you denied Him, you rejected Him over and over again. You'll have all of eternity to remember that. All I'm simply saying is the Lord is full of mercy today. His mercy is here today, and you can come to Him today and you can be saved. You can call on Him today. You can believe on Him. His mercy, His grace, it abounds here today. So if I was to ask you the question, hey, do you know 100% when you die, you would go to heaven? 100%. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And what is your answer? As you answer that to yourself, what is your answer? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus knocks on the door, but you've got to open it up. You've got to open it up. You got to receive Him, John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So I want to know, what is your answer? If your answer is something other than what Jesus did on the cross, my friend, it's the wrong answer. Jesus paid it all on the cross. Oh, that old rugged cross that we sing about. The old rugged cross. But hey, listen, the choice is yours. You have a choice. I can't make you get saved. God's not going to make you get saved. You have to make the choice for you. Now, I started this message off and I gave you some characteristics of that lost person that would appear at this judgment. Let me give you a few characteristics of the saved person. The saved person. Number one, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? And at the moment of salvation, at that moment, you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer. I'm not talking about a lose control of yourself and start uttering different speeches. Right? I'm talking about an indwelling of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Listen, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. At that moment, you get saved, the Spirit comes in. Do you have the Spirit? And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" You get born again, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Number two, has there been a change? Doesn't matter how old you are, there will be a change. The Bible talks about a change. Doesn't matter if you're 5 or 55 or 155. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You know, when I got saved at 38, used to go to the bars and drinking all the time. But when I got saved, I couldn't do those things. Couldn't go back to those things. Holy Spirit started changing, making a change in me. Now listen though, we do not change to get saved. We do not try to change our lives in order to get saved. We get saved and the Holy Spirit and the Lord begins to work in our lives. Number three, do you have a love for God's Word? Do you have a love for God's Word? Do you have the Spirit? Has there been a change? Do you have a love for God's Word? In John 8:47, he says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God." You see, that saved person will receive the Word of God. When it's preached, when it's taught, when it's read, he will receive the Word of God. It won't be something to argue with. Right? This is a tough message. This is a tough message. This is tough truths. This is tough to preach. But the Holy Spirit of God shouldn't be wanting to fight with me or with the Word of God. If you're saved, this Word of God should convict you. Right? There should be a convicting. You should have a love for the Word of God. It shouldn't be something we argue about, fight about, get angry about. The saved person will hear the voice of the Lord and he'll want to respond accordingly. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." My sheep, they hear my voice. Do you have a love for God's Word? But do you have a love for the brethren? I've just given you some characteristics, and these aren't all inclusive. Some characteristics of a saved person. Do you have a love for the brethren? In 1 John 3:14-15, 1 John 3:14-15, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Do you have a love for the brethren? You see, when you get saved, when you become a child of God, a love for the brethren is proof, is evidence of salvation. We're born into God's family. We should want to be around God's family. We should want to be around other brethren. And here it is. The evidence is not in what you say. We can say, "Oh yeah, I love the brethren." But it's in what one does. It's in the action. Do you show it? Do you have a love for the brethren? Let me give you a couple more here. Do you love to be in church? The saved person wants to be in church. But like I said, before I got saved, we were going to church for quite a while. But I'll tell you, if something came up, I was going to miss church. If any little thing came up, we'd miss church because I'd go do other things. But when I got saved, that changed. I wanted to be in church, you know. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to hear, you know, from God and be around God's people before I got saved, though anything goes. But if you're saved, you should want to be in church. Amen. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You knew I had to quote that one. Let me give you another one here, one more. Just looking at some characteristics of the saved person here. Number 6, are you chastened? Are you chastened? Does God discipline you when you sin? Hebrews 12:5, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, you've been born again, and we commit sin, he's going to chasten us. He's going to deal with us. He's going to spank us. Right? It's like when my kids disobeyed, you know, we had to chasten them, had to spank them to get them back on track. And so, are you chastened? That's evidence of salvation. He says in verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You see, God doesn't chasten the devil's children. He only chastens his children. It's like me. I only chasten my children. I do not chasten other people's children. God does. God is the same. So, again, those are just some characteristics of the saved person. But the great white throne judgment, it's serious. It should instill in us, it should strive us, it should motivate us to want to get the gospel out. It should motivate us, I'm sure we all have lost family members. It should motivate us to make a phone call today. It should motivate us to get the tracts out, get the gospels out. But let me ask you this. What if today was your last day? And you're not sure. When I asked you if you knew for sure you were going to heaven, you were unsure. What if today was your last day? Don't leave here unsure. Do not leave here not knowing. In just a moment here, we're going to have an invitation. If you come forward and tell me you need to be saved, tell the person next to you. They can come with you. And we can show you how to be saved from the Bible. Take you aside and show you how to be saved. But maybe you're here today and you know you're going to heaven. You're Christian, you're saved, you're born again. But let me ask you this. Are we living life in light of eternity? Are we doing all that we can? Gilead Baptist Church has been around for 62 plus years. Are we doing all that we can? Can we do more? Do we want to do more? We have the choice, but are we living in light of eternity? And I'm going to close with this verse. If you would, look at Revelation 21:4. If you're here today and you're saved, I believe that at this judgment, we will be spectators. We will be watching this judgment. We will be seeing family, friends, loved ones, co-workers, neighbors, as they are cast into the lake of fire. I believe that we will see that. In verse 4, he tells us, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You see, God doesn't take the tears away till after the great white throne judgment. He doesn't remove the tears, the crying, until after the great white throne judgment. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Let's pray.